Morning, church. Happy to have you join us at St. John's Episcopal Church online. Just to let you know, we're having some technical difficulties this evening while we're filming church, and you may notice some audio glitches today. If that's the case, that's because I and my colleagues got a history degree in college rather than radio, television, and film, and we didn't expect to become televangelists. So bear with us this week, and we hope to get that worked out by next week. Just to remind you, we are moving toward that date of June 21st, and it does seem like that's becoming a realistic date where we might have some reconvening of public worship here at St. John's. That will happen under a tent outside on the green space adjacent our labyrinth. In fact, if you are driving around town and you pass our campus after Tuesday, you may see the tent already there. That will give us a chance to figure out the logistics and all the safety protocols that we need to put in place prior to reopening our church for public worship. For those of you who will continue to shelter in place, or those of you quarantining, we will continue to offer services online every Sunday from here on out. So it's our plan to keep streaming our services even when we move back indoors. Another amazing and encouraging announcement to make tonight is that perhaps some of you have seen the slate for bishop for the Diocese of Wyoming. There will be a name added to that slate in the next day or so, and that name is the Reverend Mary Erickson. So we are very happy and proud of Mary for having the courage to put herself up for this and excited about this.
Thank you. I'm incredibly excited about it and feel very hopeful. Who knows what will happen? People who I've talked to said, what can I do for you? How can I support you? And as usual, just keep praying.
Yeah, we will keep praying for you and all the other candidates.
The diocese and for the candidates and that the Diocese makes the decision that's right, but I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, so are we. Yeah, we are. After the ringing of a bell and the moment of silence, we'll begin our worship this morning.
Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
God of love, you know our innermost thoughts and the deepest secrets of our hearts. Holy Spirit, Move into our lives with your mercy and forgiveness. Cleanse us and make us whole so that we are ready to serve you and your creation with love.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you have given to us your servant's grace by the confession of a true faith to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity and in the power of your divine majesty to worship the unity. Keep us steadfast in this faith and worship, and bring us at last to see you in your one and eternal glory, O Father, who with the Son and the Holy Spirit live and reign, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. A reading from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. Finally, brothers and sisters, farewell. Put things in order. Listen to my appeal. Agree with one another. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's say Psalm 8 in unison. O Lord, our governor, how exalted is your name in all the world. Out of the mouths of infants and children, your majesty is praised above the heavens. You have set up a stronghold against your adversaries to quell the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you have set in their courses, what is man that you should be mindful of him? The Son of Man that you should seek him out? You have made him but a little lower than the angels. You adorn him with glory and honor. You give him mastery over the works of your hands. You put all things under his feet. All sheep and oxen, even the wild beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever walks in the paths of the sea. O Lord, our governor, how exalted is your name in all the world. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Well, this week, after having several weeks of these long, involved, arguably theologically complex gospel readings that we've been reflecting on and hearing ever since Easter, those excerpts from Jesus's farewell address, we have this really very simple and straightforward and beautiful reading from Matthew today. Even our usually very wordy Paul was pretty brief and to the point today in the New Testament reading. What occurred to me is, even though this is a very short section from Matthew, and it's one that we're very familiar with, right? It almost sounds like a throwaway line in a way. It's actually very subtle and very difficult. Mm-hmm. Difficult in that it's challenging. When I read this gospel excerpt, I'm personally challenged by it, right? Because what Jesus says here is, go therefore. Now he's talking to his own disciples, mm-hmm. his own followers, his own friends, and he's saying, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always till the end of the age. But the challenging part and the hard part about this gospel, and also the wonderful part about this gospel, is that statement, teach them everything that I have commanded to you. And we know what Jesus's two great commandments were. We heard them from that farewell gospel, and that is to love God with all your heart and your soul and your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And I think we have to talk today about what loving our neighbor, as Jesus has instructed us, suggested, more than suggested, commanded mm-hmm. us to do, to love our neighbor. You know, we have to talk today about everything that has happened in the last couple of weeks. I don't even know how long it's been now since George Floyd was killed, and the resulting protests, unrest, riots, looting, hard things are happening in our country and in our world. And I guess what I'm wondering is, how do we bring the message, the overarching message of the gospel, which is love, love God, love your neighbor as ourselves. How do we bring that effectively into the world, out of our hearts? Because I know that we all believe that those are what we as followers of Jesus are called to do. How do we bring that kind of love and compassion into a world that feels torn apart to me right now?
The interesting thing about love and the gospel, you know, Jesus doesn't say just sit and love. He says go. And we are commanded to go out into the world. And love isn't a passive emotion. It is active and engaged. And we are called to be these beacons of love in this very difficult time, in this broken world. And what does that look like? And it's hard because we have to love all of them, everyone, right? And so that's the challenging part. But it's not enough to sit back and say, well, I'm not racist. I don't dislike anybody. I don't have any negative feelings towards black men or anything else. That's a passive reaction to what's going on. And we are sent forward to be active in the world and really love in a very active and tangible way. And how we do that is the challenge, right?
Mm-hmm.
What that looks like in reality when we go out into the world. But I think it's important that we do that and that we continue to be a voice for that action in the world in a loving way.
I appreciate how both of you have, you know, Brian, you've captured and focused us on that idea of obeying the commandments of Jesus, and you've reminded us of that twofold formula that Jesus gives us in order to simplify religious practice at a time when religious practice has become exceedingly complicated. And we live in a time similar to that. And then I really appreciate, Mary, how you are focusing on the commissioning aspect, mm-hmm. the sending. Go. Like, we are the ones who... And I'm going to, like, slide right in there into the middle and say it's the disciple piece that I'm interested in. Who is a disciple? What is the nature of the disciple of Jesus? And this passage, this commissioning passage, mm-hmm. has, in my opinion, been misinterpreted because of a comma and what follows that. Mm-hmm. You know, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, we get the sense that, oh, is that what he means? So my job as a disciple, as a follower of Jesus, is to make other followers of Jesus, and I do that by the sacramental act of baptism? Mm. And I'm like, well, hold on a minute here. I don't think that's all there is. I mean, I do believe that the sacrament is important, more than important. Somewhere in between so important and essential. But I wouldn't say essential because God can affect God's will outside of the sacrament of baptism, right? We know that. But this idea of interpreting that in such a way that baptism is the end moment.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, it's just the beginning.
Right.
And this work of loving God and loving neighbor is so tied to our embodied experience of creation, which today, you know, June 2020 means, I get it. Okay, what am I after here as a disciple of Jesus intent upon making other disciples? What's my work today? Well, June 2020, my work today is a privileged white male living in this very comfortable bubble of Jackson is painful self-discovery. First, that first step of like, how am I participating unconsciously in the degradation and the oppression of Black Americans? I'm not saying I'm doing that intentionally. That wouldn't be true. I'm not. But I have a sense that I am participating in some way, and the self-discovery will be painful when I find it. And then our other piece is a community response, right? Where we have to come together as a faith community and see what we're going to do, what our work toward anti-racism, toward racial justice, toward racial reconciliation will be. I don't feel like we have to know exactly what that is now, but I do feel like, and I wrote this earlier this week, that I'm practicing holding my gaze. Mm-hmm. I do feel like we can't take our eyes off this moment in time, because I know that loving my neighbor starts principally with listening and understanding where my neighbor is in pain. Mm-hmm. And I believe the nature of the unrest that we see, the peaceful unrest and the violent unrest, is pain. Mm-hmm. Some of it's pain poorly expressed. That's okay. I'm not here to judge how it's expressed. I'm here to listen to it and understand it and to try to feel it so that we can have that, that justice, so that we can have that reconciliation, that healing and then reconciliation.
I think, you know, I agree with all of that. I think that part of our role, because I feel this need to have an answer, because I think people want an answer, and I would say, okay, we're going to go out and do this, but we don't have that answer at this point. I think part of our role, though, is to make sure that we're continuing to pay attention. Mm-hmm. I mean, that we don't let this just fizzle out and go away, mm-hmm. because it is a brokenness in our society that impacts all of us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I feel this huge hurt in my heart when I think about what's happening right now, but what's been happening throughout our history. And my hope is that all of this will be a turning point where we really do begin to pay attention to racial justice and social justice in very profound ways. But as a church, I feel that we will work towards what the action is, but right now we just need to make sure that we're continuing to have the conversation, and that we are willing to be very vulnerable and do the hard work of looking into ourselves. And that's hard. It's vulnerable, it's scary, and we don't always like what we see.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And it digs right into my own vulnerability and my own brokenness, mm-hmm. and my own hurt, and everything that I see outside of myself is colored by what is inside myself too. And that's why I think some of this work is so threatening, not just for me, but for many people. I mean, I feel like we are in such a parallel position right now to what those first followers of Jesus were in after He was resurrected and then gone again, ascended. They were given the message of, here's what you need to do. You need to love God and you need to love one another. And then Jesus was gone again and they were going, now how do we deliver on this great commission? Right?
Yeah.
And it went beyond only baptizing people for them too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And baptism it is a beautiful thing, and it is in a very real sense a one and done thing, but the life of a Christian is not one and done. Okay, I'm baptized, all good, my work is done here.
Well, because when we take that position of I'm baptized, I'm washed, however people say it,
right,
we diminish the power of the sacrament, mm-hmm. if that's it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Well, and our baptismal vows tell us that there's a whole lot more to it than some sprinkling of water and an anointing.
Right, they are
the forehead.
Vows. I mean, I go back to the baptismal vows pretty frequently,
mm-hmm.
as a reminder of what we really are committed to as Christians. We, you know, take it on my behalf as a baby, but still, you know, I think that reaffirming those vows and what we are called to, which is upholding the dignity of all human beings and all, you know,
yep.
I don't have them memorized, but really important pieces that feed into all of this. That is what we are, that is how we love.
I remember when I was in my last year of seminary and graduate school, but part of that process was to meet with a group of lay people and study the ordinal, you know, that service. And I remember someone asking me, like, are these promises that you feel like you can uphold? And I said, absolutely. I think I can. I'm just glad that I was baptized as a baby, because those are the questions that are really hard.
Yes, absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
Absolutely. And isn't it such a beautiful thing that when we do a baptism on a Sunday morning with a full church full of people, we're making everybody repeat those vows.
Yes, we are.
As a reminder of this is what it means to be a Christian.
Mm-hmm. I think of it as, I think of the process, the deepening process that we have before us as like emotional or spiritual sobriety. Mm. You know, there's this openness that is before us, but it's going to be hard fought. Mm-hmm. It's going to come at a cost, and that cost is going to be me reflecting on the state of Jimmy Bartz, me in looking at the challenges and struggles and the darkness that is there, and then also me laying down some of my power or some of my perceived power and saying, I am powerless over this. Mm-hmm. So there's this, it feels familiar. And I know that it's hard, but I also know what's on the other side of it.
Do you think there's some truth to this, that it's time for us to quit talking so much and start listening? I mean, start really listening.
I think that's an aspect for sure.
Yeah, I think listening, try to find some understanding, because we talked about this at one point. It's not going out and asking your one black friend to explain it to you.
Yep.
There are resources, there are books, there are podcasts, but we do need to understand beyond our little bubble of privilege that we live in, what the world is like out there. And I think that that is incumbent on, that's a first step, I would say.
Yeah.
We can't skip that step.
No, we can't. Are we going to start taking a step in that direction as a community, Jimmy?
Let's do. You want to give us a little homework? Should we transition out of the sermon and into the homework?
Sure. Should we say amen first? Amen.
Amen.
So our homework this week, Jimmy has sent out an email encouraging everyone in the St. John's community and beyond, for that matter, anybody that's willing to read a book by Austin Channing Brown called I'm Still Here. What's the subtitle?
Black Dignity in a World Made for Whiteness.
Yep. And the three of us have read it already, and I'm sure probably many of you have too, but we'd like to encourage everybody to pick up a copy of that book, get it on your Kindle, your phone, however it is you get books delivered to you these days. I'll put in a plug for the local bookstores here now too. I'm sure they can get it for you if you order it from them. And dig into that book. It'll challenge you. I'm sure there's aspects of it that will ring very true to you, and there are probably some aspects of that book that you might want to push back against a little bit, and I would suggest that you don't push back too hard, that you dig in and listen to what Austin Channing Brown is saying to you, to your hearts. And then sometime after the 21st, after we've started doing church again in a little more recognizable fashion, we're going to have a series of discussions led by the three of us, maybe a couple different formats to do discussions in. Hopefully by then we'll be doing some face-to-face and probably be doing some online. But yeah, that's your homework. Get the book. Start reading the book. Start talking with one another about the book. That's it.
That's it.
Loving every night and day, loving all the troubles away. Gonna love like there's no tomorrow. Loving every minute and hour, loving past our own power. Gonna love like there's no tomorrow. We're gonna love like there's no tomorrow. We're gonna love like there's no to love like there's no tomorrow.
Saying, O God, in your goodness, hear our prayer. In this time of confusion, vulnerability, and uncertainty, let us pray to God. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
That our spiritual leaders may serve your people in ways that demonstrate your love and healing power. Let us pray to God. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
the leaders of this nation and all others in authority may be guided by your wisdom and find strength and courage to know and accomplish your purposes in the midst of these troubling times. Let us pray to God. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
Let all the peoples of the earth, especially the most vulnerable among us, be kept safe. Let us pray to God for the special needs of our congregation, especially for Ken, Mark, Eric, for Paul and Rebecca, for the Brown family, for Marion and Stan, Mari and Sylvia, Megan, Joan, Warren, Melissa and Gail, Amy, Robin, Ernie and Francis, for Ned, for Mark, for Julie, and Tony, for Svetlana, Jim, Rob, Kelly, Sue, Susie, and Stephen, for Mary, Russell, for Nikki, John, Jean, Ann, and Cindy, and for those we now name. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
That we, your people, may find joy and compassion and unity, that we may find new ways to connect and love one another. Let us pray to God in thanksgiving for those celebrating birthdays, for Jazz, for me, for John, for Kathy and Max and Rob, for Bruce and Clayton, for Carly and Joe and Patty, for Malaya, Rick, Kimberly, for Francis and Kim and Bowen, and for those celebrating anniversaries, Chris and Haley, John and Ann, Wally and Lisa, Steve and Amy. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
That we may have patience as your work in the world unfolds, that we do not fall into despair, but rise in hope. Let us pray to God. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
That those who have died may find peace and joy among the communion of saints, let us pray to God, adding aloud or silently those names of those we've lost this week, or in the past weeks, or in the past years. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
God, whose vision spans all the ages of the earth, help us to see beyond this moment and to embrace the wider perspective of your whole creation. Deliver us from fear and lead us into a way of love and justice that makes room for all peoples. Send your Holy Spirit among us that we may know the healing power of your love. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus, the reconciler of the world. Amen.
And the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also
with you.
And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you forever.
Amen.
Amen.
Alleluia, alleluia. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia.